Hello, welcome to a Stunline Fall Through Witchy podcast. It's not popular. Episode 246. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
Summer is officially here! Yeah!
Yeah, it is definitely officially here.
I don't know, Helen. It's been, actually, it was kind of windy. I think either the other day or yesterday. Yeah, maybe yesterday and also the other day. It was pretty windy. Not like stupid hot, but then also kind of chilly in some ways. How's it been over there?
I held out until it got to 85 in my apartment, and I had the windows open, but there has not been a breeze here in a couple of days, so it's like, okay, air conditioner time. If there's no breeze, there's no point in keeping the windows open.
Well, sometimes, you know what, time to get the AC to work, gotta do it when it's necessary, so your body will thank you. It thanks you for the cool air. It thanks you for it.
Yeah. If it felt actually cool, it would thank me, but I'm surviving. I've got my multiple chilled drinks. I've got the overhead fan on, you know, so we're surviving. Ooh, I should have grabbed my neck ice cooler. Maybe I'll do that while you're talking about Conan later.
Oh, great. We're going to talk after we get to what we've been up to the past few weeks, or do it later, and I guess you've already answered the question, so where you're gonna get it. I'm not gonna talk about Conan for that long, okay?
Doubt.
10 minutes later.
Big doubt. Because this is the fourth straight episode where Justin has something to talk about related to Detective Conan. Folks, I am threatening to just start talking over him if he goes beyond, like, too long.
I have no limits. Anyways, well, okay, aside from any of that, I guess we'll be up to the past few weeks. I think when we talked about the, when we talked about the spring 2026 anime season, I watched the Anime Akira fan club and dropped it after one episode.
But it's back!
I read, like, hold up. Gotta wait till I finish. I told you I read the preview of the manga and I liked that, so I was disappointed when I watched the anime. I was like, it feels kind of off. I'm not sure if this voices are working, the humor's kind of plotting a little bit. I'm pretty sure the manga was better than this, so of course I bought the manga digitally a while ago. I finally got around to reading it. And yes, it's so much better. I'm like, what? It's like you have the weirdness of the two characters, Sumitani and Miyoshi, who obviously are obsessed with Kirio. I think he's just essentially, quote unquote, God. They just deify him to such a level. Somehow weirder in the manga. Somehow the anime, I think, can't convey enough just how strange these girls are. Like in the manga, you have these two obviously talking about, like, we're always farting, and let's go to a diner and actually, like, act like how we would actually talk to Kirio, even though he's not there. Would you go to a diner to mimic how he tries to talk? Okay, ladies, what's happening here? But the point is, I think the anime just didn't capture anything. They tried their best. They did skip some chapters where I could tell, and it makes me think that if they just sped the pace up of the anime, maybe sped it up a little bit, maybe they wrote the first episode a little bit better, it could have been condensed better. Maybe if they stuck an order, but instead I gotta wait to read the manga and be like, oh, so they skipped this, they skipped that. Oh, great. Maybe they have it in other episodes. I don't know. I'm not really interested in finding out. They do have a... Haida is putting a dub out. Maybe I could just watch in the background, but I'm not... I don't think I'm gonna check out the anime. I will continue to check out the manga. The manga's hilarious. It is very strange. But it also comes again about friendship and love. There's a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end that makes you think, that, oh, maybe this might be more than... I mean, it's going to be obviously more than you think, but it's just like, okay, you got the humorous part, but then what about these two characters? Especially how they're just so friendly, yet they're just really obsessed over Kirio.
Is it gay? I've heard some people speculate that the girls might end up with each other, that they're kind of viewing Kirio as more of a non-human entity.
I don't know. Interesting. I could... maybe see that. I need to read more of the... excuse me. maybe future volumes of this will show this. As far as I can tell, they're just really, like, good friends. But obviously, we'll see how the progress is moving forward. And whether there will be, like, no more Kirio, we love each other. We'll have to see in future volumes. But for now, I don't really sense that. It's just really, like, obviously just They just like being in each other's presence. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, I do know some lesbians who love BL, so, you know.
Well, what have you been up to, Helen? What have you been up to?
Yeah, so I'm still balancing out everything I'm watching. Got a couple of shows that are already finishing up, but we're not going to talk about the spring summer season till next episode, since we've still got a few shows that aren't done quite yet. The latest one I've added to my roster is 100 Scenes of Awajima. Since I'd seen some people talking about it, I was interested in the manga, and I do wonder if it would be a little easier to follow in a manga format, since the 100 scenes seems to refer to just like 100 different little stories between characters, or maybe it's like 100 different characters and how they view things, since each episode is broken into two or three segments focusing on one to three characters. Most of the times it's two characters talking about their times at this school, which is in the vein of Takarazuka. It's supposed to be a school where the girls learn the skills they would need to be hired into one of the revues: singing, dancing, etc. Presumably, anyway, since we don't focus much on the classes, it's much more on the characters' lives outside of these classes. A lot having to do with their lives outside of the school, even, like relationships to other family members, friends, etc. And it's not strictly linear time-wise. There's a number of times where you'll see two characters, and then the next section will feature one of those characters, but it's clearly decades later. So it gets a little hard to remember who's who. So I feel like it might be a little easier if I was reading the manga, because then it would be easier, of course, just to flip back like 20 pages to remind myself of who characters were. And that's just slightly more awkward with, watching videos. If you're like, oh, was it in the previous episode? Was it in this episode? I'm continuing on with it, although I'm just desperately trying to remember like at least 20 characters at this point, remembering how everyone is related to each other, you know, who is whose daughter, aunt, friend, all that jazz. I'm also not sure it's going to be able to have enough unique stories, since there is kind of a limit to how many different stories you can have when the central premise is these are characters who either attended, are attending, or wish they had attended a specific school, and we're talking about their feelings mostly during those school years, not so much before or after. So yeah, it's fine, but we'll see how much it sticks with me at the end of the year when I'm making up my best of 2026 list. Also, there's not a lot of visual clues in there to tell you when a particular section is set. Like, occasionally we see some of the girls using flip phones that look like what you might have had in like 2007 or so. But other than that, the uniform seems to have been pretty unchanged over the years. The building seemed to have been pretty unchanged. So that's definitely not helping in trying to figure out, okay, how do these characters all mesh together? How do they fit into each other's lives if you're not even 100% sure of the timing, which I think is by design, I just do not think it is the best design.
Okay, Helen, let's move on to the news that's happened over the past few weeks. And we're going to start with, as usual, it feels like I have not been keeping track, but at least we start these podcasts always like something really salacious has happened, really miserable has happened. And we got another one of those that's happened here. The idol expose poster, Death Note, had uploaded reports and photos on the social media. This happened a few weeks ago, that alleged that musician and music producer Satoru Kuwabara had affairs with numerous women over at least the past 2 years. Kuwabara responded to the information that's now spreading a few weeks ago and said that while it doesn't paint a complete picture, he never let his knowledge the main point as true.
So
So basically,
were
there's some
these affairs
details.
with people that he was producing or just other people in the
Yeah,
industry?
from the notes, it was basically all what you just said. I didn't put all that in them. The main point is that these alleged affairs happened, and now Korba has resigned as music producer for the Ensemble Stars franchise, and we further announcements for his commitments to other projects and to his Serenity Band coming at a later date. Just so Helen's aware, I'm making sure we know who's that the alleged forward say he's Kobao is married and is married married father to his affairs with female cast members, VTubers, and employees at music labels. And he supposedly provided tickets for concerts of his band or Ensemble Stars to the woman whom he had relationships with.
Yeah, just don't have affairs, people. Just talk it out with
Apparently,
your
it's really hard for
partner,
people
you
to do
know,
that.
just yeah, I do not understand this, but yeah. Do we know if everybody was at least an adult, or are there any indications that some of these
No,
people are
that
minors?
no, you're not. Didn't say any article, so we don't know if it's either or. Maybe that'll come event. Maybe that'll be explained eventually. Don't know.
Because there's like levels to how bad this could be, and the minors would be definitely even worse.
Yes. So, like, apparently, again, it was bad enough to where he resigned. So yeah, and then we'll see what else happens moving forward. If we get actually more details, we'll talk about it then. But this is what we know for now.
So, as Justin has labeled this in the notes, Doraemon's next international attempt has arrived. So, Cake and premier Japanese broadcaster and media powerhouse TV Asahi have announced a major international television distribution partnership on the celebrated anime franchise Doraemon's 55th anniversary, basically. The partnership is going to see Cake take lead in more international distribution in the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and EMEA, excluding Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Turkey. That's got to be something that has to do with Europe then, EMEA. And they are planning on producing a new English language version. So it's been quite a while since they've tried to dub Doraemon. I know you mentioned in the script that there was an attempt in 2014 with TV Asahi and Disney partnering. So that was probably the last time they tried to dub it, and I feel like I do remember that news announcement, and I feel like I don't remember it going anywhere, so.
Yeah, it did not go anywhere at all.
Yeah, so maybe better luck this time, 12 years on?
Look, we have Detective Conan like on its like fourth run or whatever. Why not Doraemon, right?
Doraemon has been around even longer, so you know, it is entitled to more runs.
Yes, again, a Japanese staple that really hasn't taken off. I'll keep it restricted to at least the US. It just didn't really take over here, so you would think at some point, especially in this streaming era or time, that it has a better chance now at succeeding. So I guess it'll come on the Cake. And by the way, Cake is like a London, might say, is there a London-based distributor? They've obviously distributed, obviously more than just US, more than just UK and everything like that. They're obviously doing stuff in the US and everything. I believe this is their first anime that they're doing, but obviously they're gonna market it as like a cartoon and everything like that, like animation like that. So
Hearing said that it's their first anime, I wonder if TV Asahi was shopping this around to a bunch of places and everyone else said no first.
you do wonder about that, like how the negotiations go for this one.
Like, I'm thinking of when the manga Five Stars Stories got licensed a little while back, and from what I heard, it sounds like they had been approaching multiple manga publishers in English, and everyone went, "No, we know this is going to be a pain in the ass," and that's why it went with a relatively new publisher.
Oh, interesting. Didn't know that.
Oh, I thought I'd mentioned that before, but yeah, apparently everyone is like, "We know this man's reputation for being anal about approvals and stuff. We do not want to deal with this." And that one has already been delayed once, so.
Yeah, and they have covers approved for both of those too. They have Volume 1 and Volume 2. The cover's already out there, so it'll show up. I have faith. It will show up.
Well, at least one of us has faith. Which I feel like is something I say often on this podcast, but it's true.
But yeah, we'll see how this next attempt at Doraemon goes moving forward. We'll obviously share when or how it's getting distributed. We don't know if it's going on TV or any streaming services, but when we know, we will share, that's for sure. So we have another magazine that's going to end pretty soon in Japan. So the Japanese arm of the Canadian romance publisher Hall of Enterprises has announced on the announcement on Twitter that their monthly horror crime original magazine has ended its publication with this year's July issue. So it shipped a few weeks ago. That's the last issue. The company's going to continue to publish titles under Harlequin Comic label and print digital. So if there's, I guess, any Harlequin series, they'll still be continuing to publish manga. But as if in magazine format, it's not happening. So this magazine launched in 2008, January 2008, and now it's not gonna exist anymore. That's another one for the dust.
But we have a number of titles which are coming off of hiatus, so it is not all doom and gloom around here. Shogakukan's Sunday manga website announced that Shoten's You Are Miss Servant will resume serialization on June 21st. Its last published chapter was back in February. Blue Exorcist is resuming in July. It's been on hiatus since March 4th, so that the mangaka was able to prepare for the manga's push towards the final chapter. Hunter x Hunter is back. The last chapter of that was chapter 410, which was published in 2024 before Yoshihiro Togashi underwent surgery. Once again, I'm asking the man to just learn to delegate and, like, get some assistance to, like, just help you draw it at this point. Sakomi Yuzuki's She Loves to Ook, She Loves to Eat is back. That one was on a 2-year hiatus, but it has resumed serialization on Kadokawa's Comic Walker app. And Justin says, we need to top 2 years. How about 3 years? The July issue of Shogakukan's Gessen magazine revealed that Ayumi Ishii's historical manga Nobunaga Concerta will resume in the manga magazine's next issue on July 10th, and it will end in 3 chapters. This is going to be the first new chapter for the manga since 2023.
I guess a chapter there. I didn't really say why. I don't think it, in the article, I think it said what was original hiatus. Let me see if I can share. So there was a chapter. Yeah, there's no city reasons on why it was why it stopped in the first place. There was a 22nd volume that happened. Okay, here's something interesting. So the 22nd book volume came out in February 2022, and then it was supposed to be the 23rd volume would be the final volume, but then obviously that 23rd volume never showed up.
I was just thinking that having such a long hiatus and then it coming back to say it's going to be done in a few chapters would indicate someone is having health issues or has just gotten stuck. But it sounds like it already was the plan to end it pretty soon, so...
No, you're kind of correct. It could be health. There could have been they were stuck because 3 years to finish a work is a little.
Yeah, maybe they were already having health issues and they were like, oh, I could push forward a little more, you know, and get this done. Actually, no, I can't. Need a break. Need a break before this final push.
But yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I definitely looked at that title and mixed it up with Nodame Cantabile in my head for a hot second, but. No, just something.
Helen, you could cut that in your drafts. You did not say it at all.
Listen, I do not keep anything in my drafts. If Blue Sky would give me a, you know, schedule your post for later function, I would not even have drafts for those weird shit posts I think of at 1:30 in the morning before I go to bed. Which normally do even hold up when I wake up the next morning, let me tell you. But anyway, and then our last return. The Stunned Hero and the Assassin Princess. Oh no, that one's going on hiatus. I'll let Justin handle that. Oops.
No, I was like, hold up. Helen, come back. Stop.
Sorry. I was reading it and I thought I saw it come off of hiatus, but okay. You talk about the hiatuses then.
It's going on the hiatus as we now shift over to the hiatus section here. Yes, the Stunned Hero and the Assassin Princess manga is going to go on hiatus due to Yukiji's sensitive health. Weekly Shonen Champion will announce when No Shonen Chan and Setsuna's manga will resume. Obviously, we hope that the situation is not too serious and that they can return when they're healthy. Kaburachi is going to go on here until August. We've talked, or maybe on and off, we've mentioned a couple of hiatuses or random or unexpected one-issue breaks he's had. I think this year, and obviously it's come to a head where now I think it's a situation where it's just simply not healthy enough to work on the manga consistently every week. So the manga's gonna basically be off for the rest of June and July, and then at some point in August the series will return. So hoping for the best with Hokusano and go from there.
Yeah, the ANN article says the manga staff stated that Hokusono had expressed his intention to continue writing, but after repeated discussions, it has been decided that Hokusono will take a rest for a period of time to be able to order in order to be able to work in a stable form going forward. Which feels kind of like people are just like, no, we are taking away your chair. No, go lie down. We will strap you down to the bed. Go rest.
Oh no, maybe we always talk about hell, we always talk about publishers wanting their artists to like draw and everything, but we might have a situation where the artist, no, I want to keep going, leave me alone. Might have a situation like that here, maybe.
Damn it, we saw what happened to Togashi. Let's try to do better, everyone.
Forget Togashi. I'm sure over the history of Weekly Shonen Jump, I've had many artists
Oh yeah, sure.
that have had numerous health issues.
Togashi was just on my mind since we just talked about him coming back.
Right. Yeah. So, and then obviously we noticed over the past really couple of years, we've seen more publishers giving hiatuses across the board. So, good thing, obviously, you want your artists to be healthy because it's obviously a demanding workload. So yeah, hoping obviously, again, Hokusano actually rest up, literally do watch the World Cup, go to a convention. I don't know, chill out. Do whatever aside from just work.
Go outside, go on a
Just
camping trip, touch grass.
yeah.
And then we have a couple of obituaries to report as well. The official site, formerly known as Twitter, account for the manga creator Keiko Okamoto, and also the account for Comic Maomao, revealed that Okamoto died on May 6 due to a cerebral hemorrhage. Her relatives also quickly posted about the announcement on her account. She had recently started doing new manga. I think this is an adaptation of a light novel, translated The Dropout Substitute's Daughter Wants to Run Away from the Cold Duke. She had started doing that only back in March, so I wonder if this was sudden. I
It
think she is.
definitely sounds like a son to me, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe she was best known for doing the manga adaptation of the Corrector Yui series. I think that one was anime original. I don't think it was manga original.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I think it multiple people from what I saw.
Yeah, the way I saw this phrased on social media, it made it sound like she was doing an adaptation of it, which is perfectly fine. I just wanted to make that distinction.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. Yeah, there's a yeah, it's interesting. There's Okay, it was nice to be talking about eons ago, but
Yeah, I think I remember seeing photos of that.
yeah, like from what I understand, it's Kiyo Asamiya had worked on it, and then obviously for Keiko Okamoto did the story and art for the series, so you're probably right about. Yeah, it's based off of. All right, we're going too far into this. But yeah, unfortunate that she obviously passed away a few months ago, just not, or last month, I should say. And that cerebral hemorrhage is not great. Not great, but.
And animation studio Eiken announced that animator and director Hiromitsu Morita died on June 4th. The announcement did not mention the cause of death, and it did note that Morita had voluntarily retired in March 2024. He joined the production of Sazae-san, beginning with its 5,648th episode in May 2005 as a line director, and became the chief director for the anime in July 2011. I don't know his age, but hopefully not young. But on the younger side, TMZ reported that actress Davy Chase died on Tuesday, so this would be June 15th, I think, or 16th? June 16th. This news was coming from her boyfriend, and the TMZ stated that she had died due to meningitis and blood infection, which caused septic issues. I definitely saw some reporting in other places mentioning that it sounded like she had some addiction issues, which is tragic since she was only 35. I did not recognize the name, but she voiced Chihiro in the Spirited Away dub, Lilo in Lilo and Stitch, and continued to voice Lilo in various films, television series, and games. Just not the live-action movie that came out a little while ago. And she also played a character in the American live-action film The Ring.
Yeah, 35 was just too young. Like, thinking like I'm just like, older, just a year older,
I'm
you know. Like,
that age.
jeez, yeah, it really just hits you. Just,
Yeah, and I
get
definitely
older. You get
saw
older.
the dub version of Spirited Away first, and that was the first Ghibli film I saw, so
Yep, same here.
I'm
Same
sure I
here.
definitely would have
Pretty
recognized
sure
the
I.
voice.
Yep, same here.
Well, I think I've told you the story that my mom had mentioned to a coworker that my brother and I were still watching Pokemon, and we were like 13 and 11 at the time. And so her coworker rolled his eyes and like loaned her the DVD of Spirited Away, but then like I think I had said like I wasn't interested. I think I didn't recognize what it was, and so I came in on her watching it on the computer, and so just like watched it with her. And that coworker is now my stepdad and deeply regrets his actions. So Spirited
But
Away
yeah,
has
I
an
was.
important place in my life.
Yeah, I think yeah, Spirited Away definitely has a not just sure a lot of people's lives, and I know growing, especially since we know Spirited Away was like one of the more famous Ghibli films
I mean, it
before
actually won
anime
awards
really
in
took
America
off.
when it was
Yep,
unusual
before
for,
anime took off.
yeah, when it
Yep.
was unusual for that to happen.
So if everybody should know who David Chase is, so if, once you hear the voice, you realize, dang, that voice is no longer with us, and it sounds like it really she went out in an unfortunately sad way.
Yeah.
It was really tough to hear, honestly. It's really a nice sincere condolences to her family and friends. Really just tragic.
Yeah.
Okay, gonna now transition over to the licenses happened over the past few weeks, and I'm basically kicked myself this whole week or this last week when I think we said last, or I think it's the last podcast episode, that well, I think most people go, or most publishers are going to hold on to the conventions that are happening, and then we're not going to get to the licenses. And they said,
I guess not. I guess they've got a lot of licenses in the tank if both Viz and Yen Press are making a number of licenses on social media, and they are both going to Anime Expo, as far as I know. I know Viz is.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Viz. They're not. I'm not expecting Viz to have like a actual like industry panel session
I know
like
they've got a
people with Viz
booth,
nowadays.
but
Yeah, they have a booth. Yeah. They, I can't remember unless they really just done industry panels at a convention anymore. It's been a while. So I know Yen Press will definitely have announcements. They'll be there for sure with announcements. But Viz, I'm not sure unless it's like anime or something else related.
Maybe they'll continue
But
talking
yes.
about Rooster Fight, since that is quite a bit of what they
That
post on social
ended.
media these
Yeah, but
days.
that. Right, but that ended. So
Yeah, but
no
since
points
when does
now.
that ever stop people from talking about something just because it's over?
But excuse me. But it was funny because it's been a while since Viz had their like licensing social media event. So when they announced it, at some point they were due and they announced it, then I think either a day or two later, Yen Press said, "Yeah, we're going to announce our stuff at 12 p.m." And then we had basically dueling announcement at the same time from both Viz and Yen Press. It was a little weird, just retreating on the OSG account. Okay, this is business stuff. Oh, yeah, this is Yen Press. This is business stuff. Yen Press, Viz, Yen Press.
I will say though, Yen Press remembers to make all their announcements on Blue Sky. Viz does not always remember to do this. So sometimes I'm having to like go over and be like, okay, Justin, hurry up and get the posts on Mastodon so I have something I can retweet on the feed.
Yeah, sometimes I get a little lazy and be like, no, I don't feel like doing anything. No.
Yeah, every
Or I
time
could
it comes up
just
on Friday, Justin's
let
like,
it.
why is this the one day I'm going into the office? Why?
But all right, so let's get on to the announcements that Viz had. They licensed Gege Akutami and Yuji Iwasaki's Jujutsu Kaisen Modulo, which is, well, not a surprise. Akira also is The Exorcist and the Lesser Raven. This is going to the Shoujo Beat line. Haku is Witch Rift. This is a title on Manga Plus. Nisu Osen and Hirohiko Araki's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Over Heaven novel. Inoue's Galax Gal Yuri. This is on Viz Manga. Shuzo Shimi's Sins. Have to admit, Helen, this is it's a very interesting publishing situation where we have neither Dempo or Kodansha getting a Shuzo Oshimi title. I'm so used to Oshimi titles going on those type of publishers, so just I'm just shocked. Now, granted, these what was it, Sounds of a Blink? I think that's what was the other Oshimi title that Viz is publishing, and this one Sins. They're both published by Shogakukan, so obviously it makes sense for Viz to go get it, but I'm still just like, it's a little upside down here. But we also talked last episode about Taiyo Matsumoto title going to Manga Maverick Books, and like, why didn't Viz get this one? Maybe this is why. They're gonna release Issei Yankifu and Taiyo Matsumoto's Takemitsu Samurai. So they couldn't get all the Taiyo Matsumoto titles. Maybe next time we'll get the next Tatsumoto. Maybe Viz will get the next Taiyo
Matsumoto title. This is like, oh, we've already got one Taiyo Matsumoto title for the moment. Just someone else can take the other one. We're good.
pretty much. That's what happened here, yeah. Obviously, they're the Junji Ito publishers. They're going to bring over, I think this is like an anthology or like a collection of stuff from Junji Ito called Dissection.
I'm still amazed that there's more Junji Ito stuff for them to publish. Like, at what point did they just start, rummaging through his house?
Well, look, they already... Well, Kyle, I thought they were, just done when they started just commissioning them to do picture books. Like, or not... Let me rephrase, actually. Covers for picture books. So, picture book, they did a cover for it. I thought they were done when they did, that's it. No more Junji Ito, but then they have this Dissection one. I'm like, I guess the well keeps going on. They just have so much of it to get. When will the well dry up? When... They're gonna publish Taizan 5's The Ichinose Family Daily, Ichinose Family's Daily Sins, digital only. What? Very rare that they're. I can't say I'm not surprised because I don't know if Takumi's Original Sin did gangbusters, but it's still a little shocking because they obviously put that in the paperback or an omnibus version. So a little surprising. Decided to release it, but again, it was a Shonen Jump title. It didn't do super well, so I get it from that perspective. But they have to release it digitally, so there you go. They're gonna release a deluxe hardcover edition of Takeo Inoue's Slam Dunk, way overdue, I think, for that to happen. And they're gonna release Goshi Amasete Conan's 3-in-1. It's a script, Detective Conan. Helen, it says Detective Conan on the script. Shouldn't this say case closed?
I know, Justin, you started yelling at me in my DMs about this.
So yes, you're not hearing anything, no misprints, no nothing, no conspiracy, none of that. Detective Conan will be published under his original name with the character names restored next year. It is happening, Helen.
We no longer have
Amazon and Barnes & Noble. February 2027 is when the first volume is coming out. I am hyped! Let's go!
I mean, I was going to say, we no longer have the late night with Conan O'Brien, so yeah, that's one less Conan to fight off in the legal terms.
Yeah, you were you're right. But it's been weird, because obviously TMS has been pushing the Detective Conan moniker for a couple of years. I guess it really started last year. Which signified that I think the rights were obviously were getting relaxed, or things are changing. I want to also say before that, on Crunchyroll, you could also look up to say the Conan would pop up. It would still have case closed, but you could put the Detective Conan and it would show up. So it's been kind of
good. They finally learned about tagging.
So obviously last year was a major push into making sure people know what's in Conan, and now we're continuing that push by having a 3-in-1 edition of Conan without Jimmy Kudo, Rachel Moore, Harley Hartwell. What? What are those names?
God, those sound like such 1950s names in hindsight, or maybe 1970s names.
But yeah, it's gonna happen next year. There is still question about how it's going to be handled sample hub wise, because obviously they've been publishing the sample hubs for the past almost year now. Actually, maybe even longer than a year. I honestly have not kept track of when they put the case closed manga series on the Viz Manga app. But yeah, there was a question about that, like, would they move to the official names moving forward for that? But there was no answer for that. Yeah, maybe we'll, so we'll look out for that. Look out, see how that's gonna happen moving forward. But other than that, we still have the Case Closed singles being released. I kind of question if there's gonna have if they're gonna change it, if they're gonna change those moving forward. I have questions about if they're gonna do it, because like at this point, I think TMS wants to just completely obliterate Case Closed. Like, don't they don't want to see
Case
that at
closed?
all.
No, case obliterated.
They did not want to see Richard or Rand. They don't want to see the Moors anymore. They don't. The Moor family as it stands does not exist. Amy Yeager, no, they don't want that anymore. So we'll see. But otherwise, obviously, this is long overdue. I've obviously seen some people on Twitter saying they were never gonna buy Case Closed until we finally got the names actually proper. I probably changed. It's finally happened. That means people are gonna have to shut up and pay up now. And I'll be one of them. I was actually trying to read the Case Closed manga. So I'm not wanting to see what it was like really reflective or like that upset. Or I was like, yeah, I wish it was the original names, but I'm like not beholden to them. But now it's like, this is time. This is Conan's time. Let's get on. Let's do it. So yes, I'm hyped. Can you tell I'm hyped, Helen? Can anybody tell I'm hyped?
Okay, but are you going to be buying these new omnibuses? I think you've said yes, but.
I'm gonna buy them. Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I was trying to read the Silent Pubs, but now I'm gonna be also buying the 3-in-1 editions for who knows how long. There's like 100-something volumes of this series. Oh God, I'm gonna at some point have the dedicated bookworm. Sense of a bookworm bookshelf. I'm gonna have to somewhere have a dedicated Detective Conan bookshelf. It's gonna be great.
I'm surprised you don't
Fantastic.
already.
I have so much space in my apartment. And I've got to find more space at some point to stock future volumes of books.
Yeah, I've been having
I'll be
trouble lately since I've been buying more like sewing and knitting reference books, which don't fit on like my regular bookshelves. They fit in a different area, but that different area also has books stacked up on it, like my old to read pile. So I'm like, shit, I need to get on this and like finish reading stuff so I can move that pile off and have more room for the knitting reference books. And saying I have a
But yeah.
collection of knitting reference books may in fact be one of the nerdiest things I have admitted on this podcast.
No, I am sure we've over the course of this podcast, this long and illustrious history, that you've said more nerdier things.
I don't know, for this podcast, that's pretty nerdy though. Yeah, I have books I can reference on knitting.
But anyways, listeners, this is now the fourth straight episode, as Helen alluded to or mentioned earlier, the fourth straight episode where somehow Conan has wormed his way into the script. Look, I don't make the decisions, like the TMS wanted to announce a collection 3. Out of nowhere, we wanted to have the Conan Pretty Cure collaboration, and me talking about the Conan Pretty Cure collaboration. They revived Cinema Saturdays. I guess by the next episode, we'll be talking about collection 4. Actually, I think we'll be talking about one of the movies for Conan next time. But we'll see. We'll see what if we'll be talking about Conan for a fishing episode.
Justin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so moving over to Yen Press. They also had quite a few announcements, so let's see how many times I trip over some pseudonyms. They have licensed Yuri, Yumemi, Makuai, and Wata's Witches Can't Be Collared manga. They are already publishing the light novel. Kazuhito Minagi, Kazumi Kurihara, and Justin, your cursor is in the way. I cannot read that last one. Pinnikuars, your castle's little helper, please feed me all work. Manga. They have
Me looking at the same, looking live, like, wait, what? I'm supposed to put the manga there. They're also publishing light, they just announced they're publishing light novel, I think the last licensing round for this one.
Okay. They have also licensed Hyogo Amagasa and Lino's Tale of the Wizarding Kingdom. The nation's dragon guardian is reborn as a downtrodden young lady. This will be the light novel under the Yen On imprint. Also under the Yen On imprint, Shinano Sano and Niigata Amon's Mafia. Fujin Omori Fumikaru Niji. No, not Niji. Fumikaru Nishijima Nilitsu? And Susuhito Yasuda's Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? Familia Chronicle Episode Asif? More light novels. So it's more Yanon. They still do not have an answer to this question. I really had hoped they would have figured the ethics and morals out of this by this point. Tezuro Hibi and Minori Chigasu's Shino and Ren Future, also in the Yanon light novel imprint. And also coming to that same imprint, Sankina Aoi and Kurihito Misaki's Playful Relationships. Jesus Christ, they licensed a lot of light novels this time around. Haruichi and Yutuka's The Immortal Witch Would Sacrifice 10,000 Lives to Fulfill a Simple Wish. I would sacrifice 10,000 lives to have you guys have pseudonyms which can actually be pronounced in English.
You're saying Ithaca is hard to say?
Ituka? It doesn't. It's a combination of sounds that sounds more Greek than English to me. So, but that's.
I think the problem is, I think there's an Ithaca like somewhere in New York. That's not
Yeah, I'm th I
far
keep.
as it's far, but.
I keep looking at it and thinking Ithaca, and I'm like, no, it's not Ithaca, it's Ituka or something. Just, it's like I could say that in English, but I know that's not a sound you normally make in Japanese, so I'm not sure what sound you want me to make in English. Anyway, moving on. I think the rest of these are all manga. Nanateru's Alma-chan Wants to Be Family, Okinosuke's I'm the Monster Girl You Once Saved, a middle-aged teacher in another world is concerned about his son's popularity. Me too. An Momose's Love Me to My Core, Daifuku Hoshimi and Ichino Tomizuki's The Purple Clavel, They Took Everything, So I Bloomed Once More as a Villainous Femme Fatale. When this one came out, I had to look up what a clavel was. It is a purple flower, because I definitely looked at that and thought, clavicle?
Helen.
Listen, I had never heard of that flower before, so I had to double check. Candy Tamo Gakkake, Ryu Segawa, and Megumi Nagahama's The Reincarnated Devil's Plot for Raising the Ultimate Hero, Ryu Aomi's Yamada's Class Diary, and a full box set release of Kafka Asagiri and Sango Harukawa's Bungo Stray Dogs Case Files, BSD 1 through 10. So I believe this is not the main manga line, but a spin-off, volumes 1 through 10.
Okay, we had a few more lists to go. We have Sublime with their BL announcements. So we have Mayuharu's Bursting with Love and Fumi Tsuhisa's Paths of the Omega Sunflower's Tale. If this sounds sort of familiar, yes. This is like a sequel, I believe, of the Paths of the Omega series. So look out for that, I guess, sometime in, I think next early next year for these two. And then Scholastica from with Ann and a few weeks ago that its graphics imprint is publishing Yusuke Saito's Chuck and the Girl. Curious if we see when it's gonna release. Ann has it being released in August 2027, but if you look at the source link or the source tweet, okay, actually I think they use a Blue Sky link, I take that back. And the graphic, it shows that they're gonna release it May 2027. So basically the only thing that's guaranteed is coming out in 2027. The actual window, we'll see when it gets when it comes out.
Yeah, you say in the script
Who
one of these
knows?
will be correct, but Justin, it could come out in May 2027. They could both be wrong.
One of these will be correct. We'll see.
And then going over to some digital announcements, Yukiaki Kurando and Wooma's Kiss Me With Your Face has been added to Viz Manga. How else do you kiss people? No, don't answer that. Shonen Jump and Manga Plus have added Gyoko Marume and Togekoro's Twilight Blade. And Manga Up has added Sumu Kamiyama's Haimiya is Scary Cute, Haru Ogawa's Venus in December, and Kiri Wazawa's Paranormal Agent Adashino. Obviously, I was busy before this podcast, so I did not practice reading out the pen names. I was trying to get my laundry sorted.
Look, Helen, you don't have to share any of that. We were perfectly fine with you mispronouncing our names.
I believe in no distinction between, you know, the behind the scenes and what we put out.
K-Manga is going to sign up on Daisaku Tsuru's Protocol Ryugu. They've also added on Jiroku's Twisted Devotion. And then Omoi, it feels like it's been a while since we heard from them. They've licensed Tsukasa Mikuni, Tawa Kano, and Sochu's A Snow Fox at the Northern Fort. And as always, you get the not releases, but you know what, Seven Seas, they wanted to come back so bad and be like, Wonderful Ones are back, we have three new announcements, and not really nothing new, but, well, we're gonna have to get, we have to return to Wonderful Ones somehow, some way, so they're gonna release a box set of Misaki, Takamatsu, Skip, and Loafer, assuming for the first five volumes. It's gonna have five art cards. That's planned for a December release. We'll see if it actually sticks to that December date. And they're gonna release two new audiobooks at some point this month. Or some point, maybe even July. Puni-chan's Fluffy Cafe in the World, which will be narrated by Dan Bittner. And Okuta's Reborn as an Assassin Apprentice, this is narrated by Nox Ram.
Alright, moving over to streaming news. Crunchyroll is now streaming the Zombieland Saga, Yume Ginga Paradise anime film, the Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, A Lonely Dragon Wants to Be Loved anime film, and the Given Moments in Life OVA. I am trying to find the Zombieland Saga movie, and it is not immediately popping up.
Uh-oh. On Crunchyroll?
Oh, found it. Okay. It is... You know how normally they put all the seasons of a series on the same page and just have, like, the drop-down menu? For Zombieland Saga, they apparently have made three different pages, one for each season and the movie.
Okay, so they haven't gotten to fixing all that.
Cool. Well, no, that's what they did before, and now it's like this. So it's like, I do not understand your tagging and organizational things. Yes, I know you were probably running on a code base that some college student programmed in like 2009 or something, but like, y'all got that Sony money now. Hire some programmers.
Good joke, Helen. Good joke.
No, I'm serious. I'm no longer asking. I am demanding.
Obviously, with December season approaching, we have obviously many announcements happening. I think Crunchyroll and I don't think Hyde announced their full lineup, but they did have one announcement that I didn't add on here, but. They want to pull out Hulu, which will also be streaming anime at some point in this summer season. We know of a few dubs are going to happen. So first, the Villainous is going to stream with both subtitles and English dub on July 12th. It's also going to stream on Crunchyroll. Mission Yosakura Family anime, which is airing now. I'm not sure if it finished up now or if it needs one more week. But the dub for that's going to stream on Hulu July 15th. And then finally, the Undead Unluck Winter Arc special. This aired, obviously, either earlier this year or late last year. The dub for that's going to show up on July 2nd on Hulu.
Alright, so G-Kids is, let's see, going to be premiering another film in theaters. This is going to be Cocoon, and they are going to be bringing out both the sub and dub version. And this will be the North American premiere. They're going to do it first at this year's Japan Cut, hosted by New York's Japan Society in July, and get a home media release. I am excited because this one sounds like it's really good, and I think they announced this on the same day the manga actually came out in English. Don't know if that was intentional or not, but that's what it looked like.
That was funny. Like, I obviously did my little jewel tweets about Cocoon and its manga release, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, G-Kids. They're gonna release in the theaters later this year. The timing. The synergy.
Yeah, and G-Kids is also going to be screening Baku Kinoshita and writer Kazuya Konomoto's anime film The Last Blossom on August 30th to 31st. And I see that you don't have it in here, but I will mention it, that Crunchyroll has picked up a film for a Korean webtoon that I really love called Your Letter, and they're going to be having that in theaters on, I think, August 17th. I know it's a Monday. Crunchyroll's been doing more things on Mondays. I'm really hyped because I really like that comic. Once this movie comes out, Adam and I are going to actually finally do an episode on that in Manga in Your Ears. Because I am still salty about something. So yeah, I'm going to just make up some manhwa in your ears episodes because I can.
Look out, everybody, look out.
Look out, I have access to the recording bot we use and the knowledge of how to use Audacity.
And been a bit of streaming news, Ninja Scroll. We talked about it a couple of times, I think, over the course of the year about its 4K restoration and premiering in places, and now it's going to have a limited North American theater release from High Dive in October. I didn't list, they have a couple of dates already listed, but they might announce more dates when that day approaches, when it gets closer to the month, so just note that there'll be screenings in October. See Ninja Scroll in 4K. Cool.
Alright, so weird news time! And I have not actually looked at all of these, but under copyright, what is copyright? The Japanese government is criticizing President Trump's use of Naruto imagery. Japan's economic security minister. We should exercise extreme caution to avoid situations where the reputation of a work is damaged by its use in a manner contrary to the rights holder's intent. Which is basically, yeah, that is a copyright infringement. Apparently, Trump posted on his Truth Social account a video using the likeness of the manga and anime franchise Naruto on June 6th. I don't know what it looks like. ANN has said warning video contains offensive imagery, so I don't think I want to. But, yeah, they've been doing this a lot. It's not great. They are now arresting people for touching the reflecting pool, which is greener than the grass, on the National Mall because we are in a drought right now. So, yeah, it has been a weird-ass couple of weeks in DC. Not the weirdest we've had, but slightly weirder than average. And this is just another, like, okay, what the fuck? Why?
It's just like, yeah, we have rules and regulations. What rules?
Rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah. This is shame. It really is. We have the Magical Sisters Lulu to Lily and Wistoria Wand and Sword franchises collaborating. As far as I can tell, it's just like a bunch of cats or cat-like creatures that are involved in this. But I ended up really noticing that this crossover is basically partnered by Bamco and Namco. By Bandai and Namco. Because these both franchises are basically produced by both. I had to catch that. I was like, wait a minute. Like, are these both by Bandai Namco? And it turns out it is. That's why it's called the Bandai Namco crossover.
I just think it's funny that the crossover is specifically between the cat-like creatures and familiars in the two series. Not like the main characters, but like the cats.
You always,
which, to be clear, I don't think it's cats. Stupid. I just think it's funny.
No, everybody loves cats. You can't go wrong with cats, right?
This is true. I do love cats. I need to ask my mom for more pictures of her new kittens. Recently, we had to cut one of our video calls a little short because some kitties had decided that they really, really wanted to use the couch as a scratching post. And we're not fans of that.
Yeah, I don't think you would be a fan of that either. I don't think you should be a fan of that.
All right, so DJ Milky is back? Question mark? 247 Comics is launching a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign for a 20th anniversary collection of Misaho Kujidaro's Princess Eye manga. The new edition will include the manga's original trilogy, quote, rare vault material, and extras. They've not announced a launch date for the campaign. Justin and I are speculating maybe around Anime Expo. Might be building up hype there, but yeah, I don't know why people are still trying to make Princess Eye a thing. It amuses the hell out of me, because I've got a friend who did a panel on Princess Eye at Otakon last year, and now she's got more material for this. Said panel included a live reading of some of the tie-in poetry collection that DJ Milky put out, and it's awful. It is just god-awful.
Yeah, I have no words. What can I even say? Like, is everything good? Granted, it's totally 247, which is, I guess, separate from Tokyo Pop, so it's not.
That was part of the other question at first. It was like, hang on a second. Why? Who are these?
Yeah, it's a little bizarre how this is being handled. Is Tokyo Pop actually involved or are they not really involved? And again, as you said, like, who really wants this? Is there really an audience for this?
No. Although Tokyopop has been trying to raise money recently by selling, like, not shares in the company or stuff like that, but they've definitely been trying to raise money because it seems like Stu has run out of money that he was kind of self-funding, so this is probably another way they're trying to raise money. Just, I don't know how much of this has been reported publicly, but you could definitely go on Blue Sky and see people being like, so I got this email from Stu Levy asking me to invest in this company. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of discussion about what's been happening with Tokyopop over the past, I think, month on Twitter. But there have been reassurances from some freelancers that, hey, I'm still getting my money. Things seem to be still be good in terms of that. Okay. What about everything else? I think that's the question. Like, is Tokyopop actually in a healthy state? Or are they? So not new for Pretty Cure is obviously going to have the mid-season Pretty Cure showing up. We're going to find out who Clary is at some point. It's going to happen. But interesting enough, they're doing a poll. That's kind of new for Pretty Cure, isn't it? They already usually weave that into the show. But in the first, I watched the episode yesterday, or last night, I should say. And they actually literally referenced it in the episode, like, or as like a starter episode. They didn't actually weave it to the narrative. Before the episode started, they actually had the voice cast actresses talk about who's going to be Eclair. Who is it? These four characters. So that's interesting. I don't know why they're doing it now, but they're really asking fans to figure out who Eclair is. So let me make sure I get all the details properly to everybody. So yeah, I've started this poll in Japan. We have to figure out of the four characters, it's going to appear in the June 14th. June 28th, July 5th, and July 12th episodes. Which out of these four characters is Kyrie Claire? First of all, I bet it's already the Kureya Hawa character. If you open the anime image, the one on the left, the first one, the blue hair. The first one, the darker. I would say dark blue hair, but I think that's not quite dark, but... But basically, yeah, I think she might be Clary Claire. But that's my thinking. We'll see if I'm right or not in a few weeks. But yes, very interested to do it this way. I'm curious if this has happened in other Pretty Crew series before.
Yeah, I definitely can't think of that.
But yeah, they're doing a poll now, so we'll see who's right in a few weeks.
Yeah, I guess I better definitely get off my butt and start watching this one so I can, you know, be part of the mystery of everyone else. Okay, and so our last bit of weird news is continuing on a trend we've had going this year. Another older manga series, older shoujo series even, is getting an anime adaptation. For some reason. Kyosuke Motomo's Denki Daisy is getting an anime adaptation by Studio Deen. This manga originally ran from 2007 to 2013. So obviously it was published slightly later in English. And this is by, the creator does have a series currently ongoing in English, Queen's Quality. But yeah, I'm not sure why this one got an anime adaptation. I guess it was more popular than I expected. But oh no, there's an age gap in this one. So, once again, I am like, I don't want to deal with this discourse. Like,
yay, Red River Star discourse. Yay.
People get especially moralistic about the shoujo discourses, as you well know, Justin. Red River is starting in a couple of weeks, and yeah, not.
Ooh, yay.
Not looking forward to this because that one is going to be red hot. I bet.
Ooh, looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to the discourse for that one. Ooh.
Listen, people need to understand that sometimes the titles that are popular are kind of trashy romances. Popularity is not an indication of quality. Or should be a moralistic judgment, but you know, just... Yeah. Yeah.
But as, again, Helen Lynch, and again, we have another... Again, we just keep going into that... What work aired in 2000, or what work was created in 2000, or 1990, or whatever, that we could totally have as an anime now. And this is another one for the pile, Helen. we're starting to these comics are getting desperate, Helen. It's getting obscene. It's getting obscene, I tell you.
No, this one's not obscene, as far as I know.
No, obscene in the sense that these
Yeah,
comics are
I
so
know.
desperate.
I'm making a joke, Justin, about how this is
No,
not the obscene one.
what could be next, Helen? Give me 20th Century Boys already. We did Pluto already. Just do it. Just do it.
20th Century Boys. That one's long, though. Also, it's not shoujo, so, maybe that's the key factor here.
We've had Ironwalk John, we have Siren. It is a case where these companies are just looking to the past to try to current try to basically show the off to the youth. Yeah, this is how manga was back then. This is how it is now. Okay, I'm just making it up. But the point is, I don't know what the look. The logic of okay, yeah, shoujo, that's getting adapted. But I feel like at this point, there are production committees. They're just throwing things out the window. They're just throwing things in the blender, and just hoping things work. That's my current theory. Because I go back to Hanakimi, and I mean, for all intents and purposes, that was obviously something that could have been adapted a long time ago. It never did. And I obviously they didn't want to disrespect the creator. They did their best, but it was not a very good-looking adaptation. Just not. It just was not.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like so many of these, they look like they had a kind of limited production timeline. So it's like, are you guys even making money off of these? Do you think you're going to make money off of these if it looks that crappy? Because if you want to pull in new fans, which should be the goal of any anime adaptation, to pull in new fans as well as old fans, you kind of gotta look good for it. Kind of gotta be polished and they're just not doing it. They seem to think that this anime is like a money printing machine, and no, that is not how any kind of creative endeavor has ever worked.
And then another example of this past season, Liar Game. Like, remember that being like one of the. Why isn't it adapted to anime yet? Why has this happened yet? And I haven't really heard much about Liar Game this season, have you?
No, but that's mostly because I think a lot of my friends were instead watching Shibuyugi last season, so.
I mean, you say that, but my understanding is that manga series was really like that one not licensed title that was really popular as a scanlated title, and people like that. You could go look at the random aggregate ratings for the manga and people hype it up, and then you look at the anime ratings, it's not gonna come close to the same. Just no discussion on it. You see some of the screenshots, and it just doesn't look very good. And it's by
Yeah.
Madhouse. Now, granted, I was seeing like it's like their secondary studio, Dr. Movie, or something like that, that's really handling production of this, but I feel like if you gotta be like I'm hoping for the best of Ironwalk John. I'm obviously gonna watch it regardless, unless there's just something totally wrong with it. But like you're adapting these works, you gotta like put your best foot forward for these. So I have to like they have to really show me. And so far the returns have not been good. Fingers crossed for Red River and Ironwalk John to breaking that trend.
And From Far Away, and there's been even other titles I know we've mentioned recently, but I am just blanking on right now. So yeah, we've made it through another episode. Will we have more Detective Conan to talk about next week? Dear God, I hope not, but you never know at this day and age.
Especially since we're in the convention season, and
Yeah, so next time we're going to
okay,
be recording
I'm
like during AX weekend, so.
yeah. It's either we're gonna record either during X, or hopefully all the big like convention stuff gets announced early enough.
Yeah,
But
because we
yeah, we
record
should
on
have something.
Sunday, so hopefully they have calmed down by Sunday afternoon.
That sure reminds me. I think what was it? I think it was a Billy Bat that got announced during a convention, or like they weren't at a convention. I think it was maybe Anime New York City, or I think Billy Bat got announced, and they didn't announce at a convention. They announced just through a press release during Anime New York City. Or we're gonna get something like that happening, where there's gonna get a shocking manga announcement that's gonna happen like during AX, but they won't actually have a convention presence. It'll just be sent through a press release. I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Did you see? Did I send you the link where someone was like, wow, the Santa Clara library system has ordered 95 digital copies of Billy Bat?
I feel like it sounds familiar. You may have sent this to me. It sounds familiar.
Sorry, I'm still laughing over that because my God, that is so many copies.
Yeah, I tried to get it from Kinokuniya. That was a fail. I tried to kick it in, and they didn't have it. So maybe that looks like kind of my shot gold here. But yes, that's the episode, Helen. We will obviously have lots to talk about next episode or next episode. But until then, where can we find you on the interwebs?
I mean, you should not be able to find me much over the next week on the interwebs because I'm busy. I need to keep my ass off the interwebs. But you can certainly go looking for me at Blue Sky, at Wandering Dreamer. And the other podcast I co-host is called Manga in Your Ears. We are on Blue Sky at Taiku Podcast. That is spelled Taiiku Podcast. Also, the name of the website where you can find us if for some reason you cannot find us on one of your streaming services. Last episode, we talked to My Back, which is a Gekiga manga, and I am just not a fan of Gekiga. I was complaining that it was homophobic for me to have to read about an incompetent husband during Pride. And we also talked about on-off work-life balance, which is much cuter. And I discovered that I've been reading the Manga Plus version of that. Sorry, not Manga Plus, Manga Up version of that, while my friends were reading the collected physical volumes, and there are apparently cute bonus comics in there that I have not been able to read. So I'm like, oh, that is encouraging me to actually go buy the physical volumes now, because I also want cute bonus content, you know? But anyway, that's where you can find me in the meantime. Justin, what about you? Are you posting about Fortune's Weave yet on Twitter, or are we holding off on that till it comes out? Because I know you do plan to have that like by day one. Are you going to get the collector's edition, or are you getting the standard edition?
No, I'm gonna try to get the collector's edition. I'm hoping that my Nintendo store have it. But no, I haven't really like treated everything Fortress Weave. I obviously played at some point when it comes out in September. It's nice to have a date for that. But yes, at some point, my feed, if the game is good, it will dominate probably my feed. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'll be on Twitter still at KameyoshiNomi. You can also check out the OSG podcast for, or sorry, OSG.com for Reviews of the Futures. You can check out the OESG for the OSG socials. So Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky. One funny thing that happened, I think either last week or early in the week, where, yeah, I think actually it was last week, but for some reason, Blue Sky was just not loading any images.
Yes, I messaged you about that.
That was hilarious. And I'm like, at some point, they're going to fix itself, right? I think maybe an hour or so later, it eventually fixed itself. Who knows how long it was like that? And the thing is, like, what am I supposed to do about that? What can I do? I said, hope, I guess. Hope for the best. So, yeah. But you can still find the socials on those accounts. You can obviously subscribe to the Yoshi Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or ask you any RSS you have. You can subscribe to email or subscribe by RSS. That's it. I have nothing else to add. Have a good rest of the week, weekend, all that stuff. Bye.
See ya.